Come, Holy Spirit, would you take these words and speak to us through them, I ask, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
This morning I want to talk about a subject that is often neglected and misunderstood. That is the subject of prayer. There was a young man who was very lonely, and he was praying that the Lord would bring a young lady into his life so he could have a relationship with her. And he worked at a department store, and in the fabric department of the department store, when a beautiful young woman came in to buy some fabric to make a dress. So she asked him, "How much is this fabric here?" And he said, with a kind of a smirk on his face, "It's only one kiss per yard." And she said, "Okay, fine, I'll take 10 yards. Well, with great anticipation and eagerness written all over his face, he measured out the material and he cut it and wrapped it up, and he kind of teasingly handed it to her. And she snatched it out of his hands and pointed to the old man next to her and said, "My grandpa will pay the bill." Sometimes we get answers to prayer, but we mess it up. And certainly that's happened to me a number of times as well. Sometimes we pray, but we don't really expect answers to prayer. How many of us believe in the power of prayer? How many of you believe in the power of prayer? Well, if you don't believe in the power of prayer, then what I'm going to share with you today may not make that much of a difference. But certainly I believe in the power of prayer. There was a town that was a conservative town, and a man wanted to build a bar, a tavern, right next to a Baptist church. And as he began the construction of this bar, the Baptists were not too happy about that. And so they began to circulate a petition, and they began to let it be known far and wide that they were praying that this bar would not open. And so as the construction neared its completion, the bar was about ready to open when a lightning strike hit the bar and it burned to the ground. Well, the church members were very smug in their glee over what had happened, until the bar owner sued them. And in his petition to the court, he said that the church was ultimately responsible for the demise of his building, either through direct or indirect actions or means. The church, however, vehemently denied any responsibility or any connection to the building's destructions in their response to the court. So when the time came for the trial, the judge began to read over the paperwork, and he made this statement. He said, "I don't know how I'm going to decide this, but it appears from the paperwork we have a bar owner who believes in the power of prayer and an entire church congregation who doesn't believe in the power of prayer." So if you don't believe in the power of prayer today, pay no attention to what I'm going to share with you the rest of this time. I want to talk about four things that really will help us to not only pray better, but to be more effective in our prayers and to get more answers to our prayers. Turn, if you will, to our second lesson today from 1 John chapter 5. And that's on page 1903 in the Pew Bibles. 1 John chapter 5. And we'll look at verse 13 in the fifth chapter of 1 John. Not the Gospel of John, that's in the first epistle of John, all the way in the back of the Bible. And we read these words that the Apostle John wrote in verse 13. "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." So that you may know that you have eternal life. Last week I talked about how we can have confidence that we're going to go to heaven. How we can have confidence that our sins are forgiven. How we can have confidence that we will be able to stand before the judgment of God. And that confidence is based not on our own goodness or our own worthiness, but upon Jesus Christ and what he has done by his death on the cross, by rising from the dead, and by ascending into heaven. And so because Christ has guaranteed that which he came to provide for us, we can have confidence as we approach our death and as we approach the day of judgment. And certainly, as we invite Christ into our hearts, we know that he has the ability to make us right with God and the ability to have our sins forgiven and have a home in heaven. God also provides for us the Holy Spirit to pour his love into our hearts. So we know that God loves us by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. The Holy Spirit has also been given to us to remind us that we will in fact have a new glorified resurrection body when Christ comes back again. So we know that we have a home in heaven, that we have confidence as we face the day of judgment, and that's one of the things that John was talking about in this particular passage. John also wants his readers to know that because of this relationship with Jesus Christ, they can have access to the Father. They can have the ability to pray directly to the Father. Paul says this in his writings in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. He says, "For through Christ we have both access to the Father by one Spirit." And so Paul says that we have the ability to go directly to God with our requests. We don't have to go through another mediator. We can go directly to God through Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean we shouldn't have other people praying for us, but we can go directly to God with our own prayers, asking for the things that we need. The access to the Father means that we now have a chance to have our prayers answered. But there's a condition, and that condition is found in the next verse, in verse 14. "This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us." Because we have access to the Father, we can bring our requests directly to Him. However, those requests must be in line with His will. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done." So if God is going to hear our prayers, they have to be asked in accordance with His will. And if we ask according to His will, in verse 15 it says, "And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of Him." Now, I told you that I wanted to share four things about prayer that will help us, and really those are four questions that I want us to ask related to prayer. The first question is this: in order for us to know if we're praying according to the will of God, we have to ask ourselves, does the Bible have anything to say about what I'm praying, about the thing for which I'm praying? Is the Bible spoke to that in any way? Does Scripture tell us what the will of God is pertaining to that which I'm asking? And so, for example, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, St. Paul says this: "For this is the will of God, your sanctification." A sanctification is a word that means being made holy, being made more righteous. And so, this is the will of God, your sanctification. And so, according to His will, if I'm praying that God would deliver me from a sinful habit, for example, then I know that I'm praying according to His will, that He wants to deliver me from that sinful habit. Now, obviously, we have to participate in that process of God delivering us from those things. But God's desire is that we are sanctified, that we are made holy. If I'm a married man and I see a beautiful young woman across the room and I say, "Lord, do you want me to leave my wife and go have a relationship with this woman?" We know that God says, "No, I don't want you to do that," because we know what His word says related to divorce and adultery. And so when we ask ourselves the question, what has God said about this, that oftentimes can help us to know whether we are praying according to God's will or not. However, there are many times where Scripture doesn't speak about whether we are about a certain situation we may face. For example, if I'm seeking another job in California, for example, and I'm praying about whether to leave here and go to California, but the Bible doesn't say specifically what I should do in that situation. And so I have to kind of really do some praying and seeking the Lord and apply some of the principles that the Bible says and really try to seek what the Lord's will is until I get a clear direction from the Lord. And so the first question we want to ask ourselves is that about which I'm praying according to the will of God, according to the Scriptures that we read? The next question we want to ask related to prayer is the question that, does this request line up with the priorities God has for my life? Does this request line up with the priorities God has for my life? When I was in college, I came to a relationship with Jesus Christ, and it truly transformed my life. I really did a kind of a 180, if you will, in my life at that time. And I began to wonder if what God wanted me to do with the rest of my life, what were His priorities? I was studying journalism at the time, and I was going to go to be a journalist. And yet, when that conversion experience happened to me, if you'll allow me to use those words, really it was something that where I felt like God was giving me a whole new set of priorities. And I began to wonder, well, maybe God wants me to be a professional golfer so that I can influence other golfers for Christ. Then I realized, no, that's just really what I want to do, not really what God wants me to do. And so as I began to pray and seek the will of God, He began to direct me more and more in the direction of the ordained ministry. And ultimately, that's the path that I went on, and I thank God for that. But it really was because I was seeking God's priorities for my life. God is working all things together in our lives to make us more like Christ. That means that sometimes He sacrifices our comfort for our development. And so I need to ask the question, am I working for my purposes or am I working for God's purposes? Maybe there's something that He wants me to deal with. Say, for example, I'm praying that God would heal me of a bad stomach, a stomach that's causing me problems. And I'm praying about that, and I wonder if God wants to heal me. But then as I'm praying about it, God reveals to me that I really need to forgive Sister Sandpaper, who rubs me the wrong way, or Brother Blowhard, who's really someone who's full of himself. Maybe I need to forgive that person. And so God is leading me maybe to forgive them first before He deals with the stomach issue. And maybe that might even be related. The anxiety I feel because of those broken relationships might be causing me to have some sort of physical pain. And so God might want me to deal with something first before He gets to the actual answer to my prayer. Sometimes we want to find out what are God's priorities and ask ourselves, are His priorities my priorities? The third thing that can help us in prayer is this. Does the request fit in with the plan that God has for my life? If I'm asking God if he would make me the quarterback of an NFL team, that may not be God's plan, when He may, in fact, want me to be a missionary to Nigeria. Am I swimming upstream against the current that God has designed for my life? Or am I hearing Him and asking Him to equip me for what He would want me to do in my life? A kind of mundane example of this happened to me this week. And that was, I was asked by a member of the Lake Worth Chamber of Commerce if I would lead the Memorial Day prayers at the Memorial Park in Lake Worth. And when they asked me to do that, my immediate thought was, I don't want to do that. That's my day off. I just want to rest. I don't want to work. I don't want to do anything like that. But as I prayed about it, I realized that was all part of God's plan for my life, because His plan was for me to spread the gospel and to represent the church and the community wherever I could. And so it was an easy decision once I realized what the will of God is related to the plan that God had for my life. So does my request really line up with the plan that God has for my life? That's the question we want to ask. The fourth question deals with something where more prayers really fail than probably any other area. And that is our willingness to persevere in prayer. Do we pray about something until we know the will of God in some matter? Will I keep coming to God until He tells me what I need to know? Maybe the answer is no. Maybe it's wait a while. Maybe it's something else, but we don't need to assume that until we know for sure what the will of God is in a particular situation. Today we're celebrating Mother's Day, and I think about one of the great mothers in all of human history, by the name of Monica. Some of you may know her as Saint Monica, Santa Monica. And Monica was the mother of a man by the name of Augustine. And her son had gotten off into a wild life. He was living far away from God. And she prayed and prayed and prayed. And the more she prayed, the worse he seemed to get. And so she continued to pray for him for almost 18 years, I believe, until finally he came to Christ, was baptized by one of the great bishops of the church. And so her prayers were finally answered because of her perseverance. The common mistake people make is that they ask God for something a couple of times, and if it doesn't happen, then they think, well, God doesn't want to answer that prayer, or maybe that's not the will of God in that particular situation, but they don't pursue it enough to know for sure whether that is God's will or not. The tragedy is that the person's faith is slowly undermined, one unanswered prayer at a time. So eventually he just goes through the motions, just praying because he feels like he should, not really believing that anything is going to happen as a result of his prayers. If I approached anything else like that, I really would be not very successful. If I wanted to go to TCU, for example, and get a bachelor's degree, maybe I am all enthusiastic when I go to the first class and the professor hands out the syllabus and he talks about what's going to happen the rest of the class. And then I take the syllabus home and I read it and find out that I'm supposed to read two chapters in the textbook and write a 10-page paper before the next class. And I realize that I've already made plans with all my friends to go out and have fun during the week. And when am I going to have time to read these chapters? And when am I going to have time to write this paper? So I have a decision to make. Am I going to commit myself to my studies and go on to get my bachelor's degree? Or am I going to just forget about my priorities and not do my studies and perhaps not even get my degree? Maybe I might decide that it's the Lord's will that I don't get that degree. Maybe it might make me feel better, but that won't get me that degree. So what I'm saying is that perseverance in prayer is really important when it comes to praying. Perseverance is essential for effective prayer, just as it is in most anything else in our lives. I want to make four observations related to persistence in prayer. First of all, as we persist in prayer, we have a better chance of knowing what God's will is in a particular situation. Secondly, persistence in prayer may be necessary because of spiritual resistance that we might face. We might be facing the forces of evil that might be resisting our prayers, or it may be something else that is standing in the way of our prayers that we need to overcome by persistence in prayer. Persisting in prayer also is an expression of faith that can bring about an answer. So when we pray, do we really pray in faith? We pray in faith in God, or are we just praying kind of like wishful thinking? Faith is really a key to effective prayer. And perseverance in prayer also can be inspired and empowered by the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit leads us to pray more persistently, then we're going to be able to connect with God in terms of His will and ultimately the answers to our prayers. Maybe you're here today and maybe you've kind of stopped praying. Maybe you don't pray very much and maybe you just kind of pray every once in a while because you've had a bad experience with prayer. Maybe you've had a prayer that has gone unanswered and so you've just kind of given up on prayer. But I want to encourage you to try prayer again. Try following some of the things I've shared with you this morning. Persist in prayer. Continue to seek the Lord and His will in your prayers. And ultimately, those prayers will be answered until you find out what His will is pertaining to a particular situation. I want to conclude with a quotation from Jesus in Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 11, verse 24. He says this, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and you will have it, and it will be yours." Jesus is obviously assuming that we are going to be praying according to the will of God. But he says, believe that you have received it until you know for sure that His will is something else. Continue to pray and not lose heart. As we pray for each other, as we pray for the needs around us, as we pray for the needs in our own life, pray in faith, believing in the God to whom we are bringing our requests. Let us pray. Father, we ask that you would help us to be more confident in our understanding of our salvation, that you would help us to be more confident in our trust in you for the answers to our prayers. Lord, would you lead us by your Holy Spirit to the asking of those things that are according to your will. You would help us to persevere in prayer until we discover what your will is in a particular situation. And ultimately, Lord, as we begin to see more and more answers to prayer, let us not fail to give you thanks for all your many blessings and for seeking to lead us and guide us in our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.